The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one?
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday, media day here at Gillette Stadium, getting ready for the Buffalo Bills coming to Gillette Stadium. 1 o'clock game Sunday, you know, and you kept that bye week, and you missed that 1 weekend of football, and it seems like an eternity. It seems like so long ago that the Patriots were in London shellacking the St. Louis Rams, but they had a good weekend off. Obviously, they acquired Aqib Talib. He won't be eligible to play this weekend, just in case you're wondering. He's still under league suspension, and he will be available after this game. But I think the Patriots have enough to beat the Bills, even with without Aqib Talib. The Bills are certainly not the team I thought they were going to be when the season started. I thought they made some really good moves in the offseason, bringing in Anderson, bringing in Mario Williams, but it just hasn't worked out for them. And, I don't know what to attribute that to. I know earlier players on defense were kind of pointing some fingers, and it looked like those fingers were in the direction of Mario Williams. And when that happens, forget it. It's over. So, I made the decree that I am no longer, for the rest of the season until further notice, going to say, oh, Patriots roll this weekend. And I will continue that. I'm not going to say that the Patriots are going to roll this weekend, but they will win.
Okay. So is that kind of like you're saying they're going to roll?
No. They'll find a way to win.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, yeah. Paul.
Hi, Freddie.
How you doing?
Marcel Darius, by the way, also one of the guys that was singled out by Kyle Williams, which I thought was somewhat surprising. Yeah. I thought he was one of those guys, from Saban's, pro-style defense, kind of got it, for lack of a better term. And
yep.
I was interested to see that he was sort of included in that Mario Williams not necessarily giving it his all category.
Hmm. So, Paul, you just came from the locker room.
I did.
Where there were a lot of media.
A lot of media, not a lot of players, as is usually the case.
I wonder if fans get or listeners get tired of hearing us say that.
Yeah, probably. I did get a chance to do an interview with Nate Solder for the Comcast PFW TV show,
yeah,
which will air tomorrow night at 7:30, so you can catch that. Nate is a pretty soft-spoken guy, so I wouldn't necessarily tune in to hear a lot of, you know, chuckles. He's pretty serious and pretty straightforward, and he's a great guy.
Is he one of the most, I don't know if I want to call him thin, but...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Is he one of the thinnest tackles you've ever
fittest.
Seen?
How about fittest?
Yeah, I'm not sure of his conditioning. I don't know if he's any more fit than,
I think he
else,
looks.
But,
I think he looks fit by comparison to most offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say Vollmer is very similar, by the way.
Yeah, yep.
Vollmer's not a fat tackle like you sometimes see.
You know, so you look at these guys and you say, wow, you know, I could see where, you know, a power defensive end could really blow these guys off their mark.
Oh, I think they're both very big, though.
Yeah, oh, they're big guys.
Yeah, I don't think that they look like they could be overpowered. You know, they're big and you wonder, can they handle the quick guys? And I asked, you know, I made a mistake. I asked Solder about, you know, which guys that he likes to go up against, you know, which are the most challenging. And I got the a very Patriot-like answer is, you know, everybody in this league is good and you have to prepare and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, so he wasn't really biting on the whole Matt Light, you know, the quicker guys seemed to give him more problems. The Jason Taylor types were tougher than... you know, the bigger road grading types.
Did you happen to ask him if he was sick last week?
I didn't.
He looked terrible last week.
I didn't.
Like he had the flu or something.
After the game?
Because
I had a report about his condition after the game.
Before and after.
Yeah, I didn't.
Before and after.
I didn't ask about that.
He looks much better this week.
He's just a super nice kid.
Real nice.
I mean, he's a really, really nice down-to-earth kid.
I know his, I don't know if it's his mother meets him on the road a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I talked to him. You and I were joking around a little bit with Deion Branch in the locker room, who's always been one of my favorite guys in the locker room. Devin McCourty, I think Eric got a chance to speak to. Steve Gregory, again, had a large group around him, still not playing. I had a chance to congratulate Aaron Hernandez on the birth of his daughter. He didn't look like he got much sleep, not surprisingly, but he, more importantly for Patriots fans, looked like that was the reason he didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah.
He was walking around looking like he was getting prepared to go out to practice with everybody else.
Good.
Who else talked? I think Gronk talked, but I didn't. I was tied up when that was going on.
Yeah, I saw.
Aside from that, I don't know if there were too many other.
I saw Brady walk through.
Yeah, Brady addressed the media today, but that's at the same time that the locker room is open.
Yeah, he wasn't wearing his peacoat in low V-neck undershirt from yesterday.
No.
You get a lot of flack for that
from Monday
on the Twitter.
Yeah. On the Twitter, yeah, that was there was one angle of that photo that it looked like he didn't have any shirt underneath the jacket. I knew he did, but you couldn't really tell based on the glare of the
sun. People wondering what we're talking about. Aerosmith did a concert in front of the apartment that they used to live in Ulster, which is basically across the street from where I used to live, by the way.
Yes.
A free concert
I lived
for
in that
everybody.
Area as well.
Yeah, I guess they're debuting a new album this week, and so... that's part of it. But Jonathan, Robert Kraft, Gerard Mayo, and Tom Brady were up on stage and presented game balls to Aerosmith at the concert yesterday. And so that was pretty cool. I was wondering why I wasn't invited.
You should have just gone.
I didn't even know it was happening.
Really?
Actually, I did know Aerosmith was going to be there, but I didn't know we were part of it.
Oh, yeah, that was being billed as that all morning. Yeah.
There was a tweet that I saw that... it's now official. Jonathan Kraft has had more public appearances with Aerosmith than the New England Revolution.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Okay. I don't know if we were allowed to laugh at that.
It's just a joke.
All right.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Well.
That's it?
So what else
we got? All right.
We got?
See you later. No.
It's pretty clear, as an aside, that the players have sort of been told to not talk about Aqib Talib.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, I would say that that's a topic that's going to be for next week.
And that's par for the course.
Yeah.
He's not on the team yet, officially. You know, so we don't talk about players who aren't here. You know, and even when they're here, we don't talk about other players. We just talk about ourselves and in general. So I'm not surprised. And at this point, you know, I think we've done the Aqib Talib talk, you know, on this show. And I think it's time to turn to the Buffalo Bills. See what's going to go on with that game. Paul, do you agree with me that, you know, this should be a win for the Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's really any other way to look at it. I think it would be thoroughly disappointing, and I'm not emotionally prepared for a loss at home coming off a bye. to the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, Paul's getting his pizza. Today's pizza day here, Papagino's pepperoni. And where's Andy, by the way? Do we know, or is he just lost?
I believe Sydney is sick.
Oh, that's right.
So he's home.
Okay, so he's not home. I mean, he's not here. Eric will be by later.
Yes, he will be. He was heading up to the Belichick press conference. I was just going to linger around the pizza for a little while longer and see just how many ways that you could stall and just say, well, he's getting his pizza now.
What do I look like, Rich Eisen?
Pepperoni. Yeah, during the lockout.
The master of filling time, Rich Eisen, NFL Network.
I agree with your larger point about the Bills. I think it's kind of similar to the Jets game. It's a game that I went in feeling there's really no way the Patriots should lose this game. And I know that they were in a lot of trouble in the Jets game, and it could have gone either way. But and I wouldn't dismiss the Bills' chances to do something like that. I think Buffalo, if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays a good game, now he hasn't played a good game in a long time, since he signed that contract, really. I think they're capable of moving the ball through the air against the Patriots and getting involved in somewhat of a shootout. I think they've done that recently against the Patriots. You look back, obviously, the game this year, Belichick has mentioned it many times this week. It was 21-7 in the third quarter, so let's stop with the blowout. And Bill keeps saying that. Last year, the last game of the season, the Bills jumped out to a 21-0 lead.
Right.
And you look and say it was 49-21. Yeah, again, but I'm sorry. Any game you're trailing by 21 points, you can lose that game. The game before that, the Bills beat the Patriots 34-31. So there's sort of been an established offense here for Buffalo with Fitzpatrick. The last three times they've played, he's been able to move the ball a little bit.
Do you think that's the year before
that?
So well?
The year before that, there was a 38-30 game with Fitzpatrick. Now, there was another game that Fitzpatrick was terrible, and in Buffalo, that I think they only scored like 10 points or something like that.
Do you think that's knowledge of us and knowing where our
holes are? No, I think Buffalo offensively.
But they don't do that to every team.
Offensively, they move the ball reasonably well most weeks. They're not a high-powered offense. They can't get the ball downfield. And that's what I think prevents that. I think they can run the ball reasonably well.
Fitzpatrick is just too weak-armed.
They don't have a vertical passing game. I don't know if it's because of that. Probably, yeah. But they don't move the ball downfield. And I think that it's hard to score just hitting quick slants and running the football. It's hard to score a lot of points. You can get to 20, but it's hard to get from 20 to 30. And to me, that's winning time. When you can get into the upper 20s, you're going to win. You know, most teams get around 20.
Right.
You can get up, you know, over 25 and into the 30s, you're going to win every week, I think. And they have a hard time, I think, getting over the hump. But they do have some talented players. I'm not just dismissing. But, I mean, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, I think, are good players.
Yep.
Their offensive line is much improved. Fitzpatrick, I believe, is the least sacked quarterback in football.
Yep.
Their line is much better. Don't forget, they lost their rookie left tackle, Cordy Glenn, during the Patriots game the first time. He's back and healthy. So I expect Buffalo to move the ball. I just think the Patriots, I expect the Patriots to bludgeon them with offense.
You know, and they've got a pretty good receiver in Johnson, and, you know, they've got some talent on offense. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, like last game, Fitzpatrick, there's one play where I think he was at least 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and he's got the ball up like he's going to throw it, which he can't anyway. He gets tackled from behind, and the ball comes out. What are you doing? Put it away. You know, you're running down the field like you're going
to
throw the ball.
He turns the ball over a lot. And he tries to fit the ball into spaces that he shouldn't. And it's one of those things. You mentioned his arm. He acts like he's a gunslinger.
He acts like Brett Favre.
But he doesn't have Brett Favre or Drew Bledsoe. You know, he doesn't have that arm.
Right.
So he makes even more mistakes than those guys, you know. You can't get away with that. And you're right. He has some fumbles, too.
Yep. So all right, so
Stevie Johnson dealing with a foot injury. He says he's going to play, but not at 100%. I think he has a bruised foot or something.
Yeah. And then the Jets were also on the bye last week. They're back in action this week. So, you know, it'll be good to have another one of those Sundays where the Patriots win, Jets lose.
You just like those.
Oh, I just love it. I don't care if the Jets were 10 games out of contention. I still like seeing
them. Who do the Jets play?
I just like seeing their suffering. It makes me feel good. Who do the Jets play is the question. Let's see. New York Jets play Seattle. In Seattle. So.
Can't win there, then.
I don't know. That could be a Jets win. I wouldn't be surprised if the because, you know, like you said, Seattle's not as good as we thought they are. Were they haven't done that well since we beat them, right? Haven't they kind of?
They are tough at home, though. Yeah. I will say that's legit. I know everybody made fun of the Seattle crowd saying they weren't very loud, but they have been tough.
You know what? That's bull.
They did, though. I mean, do you remember?
Yeah, but they were loud. That's bull, and they were sustained loud.
But do you remember when we came back and a lot of people said that was overrated?
Well, Scott Zolak tweeted it during the game.
Right.
Color guy is taunting fans during the game.
Not what we're looking for.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
So we're going to need a lot of emails today, a lot of phone calls. You got to help Fred and I out. We're trying to eat.
Right.
We're trying to talk Patriots without necessarily talking Aqib Talib. We don't have a game to talk about from last week. We have a game against the Buffalo Bills, an opponent that everybody is overly familiar with, so we don't have really anything new to unearth.
Right.
So this is the time for you guys to get involved in PFW in progress.
Well put, Paul.
All right. 508-298-0398
is the Ace Ticket Hotline. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's see. Let's go to some emails, right? Shall we? I guess so. This is from Wyatt, our Alaskan cowboy. He says, if Hernandez doesn't play versus the Bills, do you think we could see a lot of Shanko because they sort of play the same role as Hernandez, and Shanko was a good pass catcher, and look what he did in Minnesota. I don't think, even though Shanko is back, I don't think he's going to play this weekend, right? I mean, would he be active?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to activate him. And they don't have to activate him this week. They can wait one more game. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I get the impression that Hernandez is going to play based on him walking around the locker room today. And I know, again, always dangerous to make those kinds of medical observations from afar. But I got the feeling that he did miss practice yesterday strictly because of the birth of his child, which coincidentally, I don't know if people realize that. I know they tweeted it out. Same day as his birthday.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat.
That's pretty cool.
His daughter. Shanko, I do agree that he has that kind of skill set. I think he's more of a pass catcher than a blocker. I think he's just insurance. I really do. I think they'll probably wait another week, and then they'll figure out maybe this time next week if they have to make a move and what they'll do. I don't know if they have to make it by Monday or what the deadline on that is, but I'm not expecting him to be a huge part of the team down the stretch. I don't know how you feel.
It's just one of those things.
I think it'd be one of those things if someone gets hurt, he's there.
Right, and people look at it and go, oh, you know, he can do this on offense. But at the same time, how many – there's only one ball out there at a time.
And at the expense of what?
Right. So the last thing I want is Josh McDaniels – trying to force things to a guy just to get him involved. I don't think that makes any sense. I think he's insurance. I think when the season started, they didn't want to be in a position they were in at the end of last season where Gronk was out, and that really affected their offense because they had no one to at least do some of the things he did. Not necessarily up to, obviously, his level, but fill that void. They didn't have it, and they were hell-bent on making sure they weren't going to be in that position again this season. And, you know, so far they've done a pretty good job with Fells. Fells looks like he's contributing, although I hate the penalties.
I know, you're right. Yeah. There's no excuse for, you know, illegal formation type penalties. There's no excuse for NFL players not knowing where they're supposed to line up. But playing, I thought St. Louis, both guys, Fells and Hooman,
right,
gave them some contributions
in
that game. And that's all you're looking for. You're not looking for six catches for 85 yards from one of those guys. When Brady throws you the ball, catch it, and make a play with
it. Be reliable. Yep.
That's what you're looking for. Yep. And that's, quite frankly, that's what Julian Edelman couldn't do the last 2 years.
Well, that's why Ben Watson, with all his athleticism, couldn't do.
Well, they were asking Ben Watson to do more of what they were asking Gronk and Hernandez to do.
And he couldn't do it.
And he couldn't. He didn't have that ability.
Yeah.
But, you know, Daniel Fells, he's a pretty good player. So, you know, you throw the ball one or two times to him a game, catch it, and make a play, which he has been able to do. We're going to run behind you. We're going to run behind Hooman put him at fullback on a goal line on a key fourth and goal. Made a nice kickout block, and Shane Vereen was able to get into the end zone. That's what you need. And Omanawa knew we did the open the second half with a long gain down the sideline, too. So that's nice to see. Guys that don't get a lot of opportunities, they maximize them.
Yep, absolutely. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, and on it is John in L.A. John, how you doing? I know it's a good day for you and for me. Is he there? John, you there? Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, you caught him with his mouth full.
Oh, that's all right.
I have four more years where I can't rub two nickels together, but I'm considered rich.
Are you considered rich? All right. Because, I feel like I'm finally coming out
of the woodwork. Did you miss the part where I said I couldn't rub two nickels together? I'm only considered rich. I am not rich.
Oh, no, I don't think you're rich. In any case, we'll skip over that. I'm glad you participated, Paul. I was wondering if you guys could think of any turnover outside of the occasion, like in the Super Bowl when Brady threw the pick in the end zone, any turnover during the Belichick era that is less excusable than McCourty's fumbling that kickoff against the Jets?
That was a pretty big one, you know. I'm trying, you know, I'd have to sit and think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that.
I mean, I
think your point, John, would be that, like, when Gronkowski and Welker got stripped against Buffalo,
right,
they had like three guys on them and they were falling down to the ground and the ball came loose. Right. And you could sort of sit there and say, well, it wasn't just like a slight touch on the ball.
Similar to in Cleveland when Gronkowski
got. And I think that's John's point. Now, I think there's been some interceptions that Brady's thrown.
I was going to say Brady's
right two guys.
Yeah.
You know, the screen pass against the Jets in the playoffs to David Harris. He floated right over, you know.
But, I mean, aside from that, it's not just that. It's like situationally, you can't.
Yeah,
I
agree with your larger point.
I know I'm a couple weeks late, but.
I'm with you, John. I agree with your larger point. That was a very ill-timed, and I just don't think it was worthy of a fumble, if that makes sense. To me, sometimes the helmet gets put in the ball, and you know what?
Right.
Fumbles happen. That wasn't the case on that, and I agree with John on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having said that, I'm excited that the team is, you know, they looked good last week, and I guess Tlaib, I was excited about Tlaib until I started reading about the actual on-field play issues that a lot of the media seem to have, and I think I'm sort of with Paul on this one. It worries me. For 5 seconds, I was like, oh, cool, we got this guy, and we got him relatively cheap because he's got a bad attitude, but we can take care of that. But when I hear that he can't really do certain things on the field, he gives up almost 200 yards receiving to Hakeem Nicks, that's worrying.
And that's why I said I'm not willing to say that this is a guy that you can play, you can change. Fred and I have been arguing about this the last 2 days. A guy that you can sort of change the way you play defense with. Based on what people are telling me, and again, I haven't watched Aqib Talib, so I don't know. It's not an informed opinion. Based on what the Tampa Bay writers have sort of described his style at, I don't think he's a guy that I can just say, I'm going to put him on whoever, and I'm not going to have to worry about whoever. Fred brought up yesterday during our TV show, John, you know, the Arizona game, they might have been able to do it different. They double and triple team Larry Fitzgerald to take him out of the game. They might have been able to put Tlaib on him and have done that. And I think had they done that, Arizona would have gone after Tlaib all day.
Right.
I don't think he's that kind of player that can take a really good receiver and eliminate him.
Yeah, but he also could. I mean, at the same time, I also said that maybe when you double-team Fitzgerald, maybe you're that much more confident with the guy that Tlaib is on single coverage. You know, and you know, we've gone back and forth. And in your contention is that, you know, why would the Patriots or can the Patriots change up what they're doing on defense to accommodate Tlaib? I don't think it's that much of a change-up. I don't think having a guy with better cover skills requires you to change what you're doing that much.
Well, it all depends on how comfortable he is doing something other than strict man-to-man on one guy.
Yeah.
But it sounds from what you guys are saying and from what I've read that very question, there are some answers to that, which is that he's not very good at it.
But here's the thing, you know.
Maybe,
because
what, John,
I've read is that, you know, as long as you can just put him on a guy, he's fine. But when he goes into zone and all that, he doesn't look as good. But again, if the guys around him aren't that good, it gets back to that whole question of we don't know what the assignments truly were. Was it Tlaib screwing up? Was he not getting good communication?
Well, I think you can make the argument the guys around him in Tampa were better than they are here.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know.
You know, Eric Wright and Rondae Barber.
Program?
What's that?
Does Shiano run a similar program to Belichick, or is it just that they are of a mind in terms of discipline and stuff.
I don't think that they run a similar program per se. I don't think they have the same kind of schemes. But you know, I don't know for sure. I don't know exactly what the system is in Tampa Bay, John. So that's a good question. I do think they are like-minded in terms of how they want to go about building their programs. And
right.
I think Schiano has sort of looked at Bill and leaned on that friendship and tried to pattern himself a little bit. You know, and I even think you saw that with that late game kneel down where, you know, we're going to play till the end and all that stuff. I think that was part of it. I think he, you know, we're not going to give an inch. We're going to play to the whistle. We're going to play a full 60 minutes. That's what we're going to do because that's what Belichick would do. You know,
right.
And I think that's kind of what he's – I think the similarities are more of that ilk than they are necessary with schematically.
It's a tonality
issue. Yeah.
But I think it also is, and this guy's establishing a program, is believing in what you believe and sticking to it and, you know, showing the players who's boss, single voice. I think that's all part of it. And, you know, by the way, Belichick learned it from Parcells. You know, as much as, you know, Belichick may be smarter than Parcells, better defensively, whatever, he learned his style of coaching from Parcells. Parcells just had a better personality doing it. So it's, you know, Belichick didn't invent it, but that whole single voice, one guy in charge, get guys like in my locker room that are my circle of wagon guys, Belichick learned that from Parcells.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I have one more thing for you before you go.
Leave
it to Obama to benefit from a natural disaster to get himself over the top.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Well, it's an act
God
of God.
God wants him to win, I guess.
It's an act of
no,
God.
No, John posted something like before, like 3 days before he sent. Did you send that just to me, or was that just out to everybody?
No, that was just on my wall, but it's true. Everyone's doing that, and the momentum stopped like 3 days before the hurricane.
It was Patriots-like luck.
It was David Patton's head.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay,
good
John,
stuff, John.
John in L.A., another one of our celebrities out in the West Coast. What's going on? What are we doing here?
Matt's trying to go over the question. Do you think McCourty should play – what position is he best suited for?
So this is the question that we're going to debate on.
Yes.
What is he best suited for? Okay.
What do you got?
What would I say?
Yeah, I'll say corner. See what I did there?
Running back.
Oh. No, do you have a preference?
No, go ahead.
All right, I'll take corner then. You
okay.
can take safety.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Yeah, I got to leave at 3, so you can do it before that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, listen to him.
That's why we call it PFW in progress, because
things are in progress.
Things are happening while we're doing this. Iggy from Madrid.
Hey, Iggy.
And he's got some midterm awards. We didn't do that. We should have. What am I?
Nah, I'm not a big fan of midterm awards.
People like it, though. It's just, you know, mindless
exactly.
Entertainment.
Exactly.
But people like to be entertained.
Mindless.
Hey, gentlemen, here's my list of midterm awards. Do you agree or disagree? Best offensive player other than Tom Brady, Nate Solder.
Disagree. Wes Welker.
Best defensive player, Rob Ninkovich. There's a case to be made for that. Best
yeah.
defensive player.
I would go with Vince. I would go with the obvious in the middle.
Most improved on offense, Stephen Ridley / Ryan Wendell.
Wendell is a big one, yeah. I would say he's good.
Most improved on defense, Brandon Spikes.
That's a good one, too.
Okay. And most pleasant rookie surprise, Alfonso Dennard.
Yeah.
All right. Worst yeah. offensive player.
Oh.
Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of static. If you notice that over the last 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, but
Worm's really starting to turn on him.
He kind of had a little bit. I mean, I know it was only a couple catches, but they were both touchdowns, right? So
yeah, but I think people were looking for more from him.
Worst defensive player, Kyle Arrington.
Yeah, hard to argue.
He's getting a lot of static, too. Biggest disappointment, Rozai Dowling.
I would go Devin McCourty.
Did he play today? Special award, Deion Branch. Is he
no,
hurt?
No back cocking on my boy Dion.
Is he hurt again? Special award, Patrick Chung.
Yeah.
Myron Pryor, not even on the roster, so we couldn't put him on. Best coaching job, Dante Scarnecchia.
Yeah.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah. I think he had a it's funny, I'm writing about that right now. I just went back to those quotes that he had in Tampa. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
When you and Eric were down there for those dual practices and he just went off on everybody.
Right.
You know, what did you guys think was going to, you know, what was it like when, what do you think it was like when Matt Light was here and he had to replace Bruce Armstrong and blah, blah, blah. And,
right.
You know, Nate Solder is a much better player this year than he was last year. I think he'd be a candidate for your most improved, by the way. I think Wendell is a better choice, and I think Iggy got it right with yeah. Wendell. But Nate Solder would be in that running, too.
You know, and then it might be really Scarnecchia, but you have to look at Ivan Fierce, too, because all these running backs, when given the chance, have produced, right down to Brandon Bolden.
Absolutely. They've done a nice job of maximizing their opportunities.
Yeah, so, I mean, those guys work together because, obviously, they're running behind the offensive line, and you could make the argument, well, if the line wasn't making the holes. But I think Ivan Fierce gets a tip of the cap.
Sure.
You know, why not? We're being nice today.
Well, you know, the first half of the season was a little bit uneven, but it ended on a high note.
Yep.
You know, ended with a great performance in London.
Yeah.
So that sort of carries over into the bye.
Speaking of London, Brendan is in England, and he says, longtime listener, first-time emailer, as your Tom Brady arguments last week riled me up. Brady is right by saying everyone at the Patriots are spoiled. The very fact that Brady is an A in 2001 and is an A-minus 5 years later, including a year out with a knee injury, is incredible. You can't really compare early Brady to latter Brady, as he has to take on leadership of the team as the championship defense slowly left and we were replaced with lesser players. His numbers went up, his league MVPs went up, and he took over responsibility of the team. He has always done enough to make his team win. He has only not reached the playoffs once, and that was in his second year. He's been setting records all the time, 50 touchdowns, unanimous MVP, 5,200 yards, four interceptions in a season. Remind me not to listen when there's not a game coming up as you argue the most pedantic points. Brady has been great in different ways throughout the years. Let's just be happy he hasn't dramatically declined to a C and is still an A-. I think everyone would agree with that.
I mean, I would agree with everything he wrote. You know, I don't know why he has to be so pompous about it. The only thing that we're questioning is whether or not you think has he gotten better every year? Or did you think there was one particular year that he was better than he is now? If you think that's beneath you and pedantic, so be it. Don't listen. But wow. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying a guy is great, but he was greater one year than another year. Why is that disrespectful? What is spoiled about that?
Well,
does that make me spoiled that I think Tom Brady, out of the 12 great years that he had, I thought 2007 was the greatest.
Right.
Why does that make me spoiled?
But does that mean that, well, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but other people will say, well, yeah. And
stop saying what other people are saying.
He's getting worse.
He's worse today to me than he was in 2007.
He's as good.
Okay. That's fine. But
he just did it in different ways.
Are you spoiled to be in that argument?
No.
No. Why are you spoiled to?
But some people are.
No.
You have to admit.
Fred, people are spoiled with the Patriots and the winning.
And having Tom Brady.
Of course he spoils you because he wins all the time.
Right.
We expect him to win.
But we shouldn't be spoiled.
Right. Well, but that's not the argument. The argument was whether or not you think he's playing better today than he did at the best point of his career.
I think he's playing as good.
But that's fine. That's your right to argue right. that.
And,
why is that spoiled?
And by the way, I'm going to give Andy some, you know, we had that other argument about the as good as, you know, I've thought long and hard about it. And I look, Andy's right. Technically, okay, there's no way for someone to say.
Yeah, I think that he's taking it super literal,
well,
and I don't think
that's
he's
what
right.
I'm about to get right.
I think he's being Paul Perillo like
right,
stubborn.
Right, literally, no one can say as good as because no one has the absolute empirical knowledge to make that judgment. But I think when someone uses that phrase, especially in a sports discussion, I think it's understood that they're talking from their own frame of reference.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's understood that I haven't seen every single play that a quarterback has ever made.
Right, and what that means is, as far as I think, as far as I know, he's, you know, what, you know, Aaron Rodgers, whatever. So that's the thing is, I think he's just taking it too technically.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, obviously, he's right, but. You know,
just like this, I think this emailer is dead on, the guy who just wrote in. I think everything he said about Brady is dead on. I don't think any of us would argue with it. I just don't understand why you can't have a discussion as to whether or not you think he was better this year than he was last year, or better last year than he was 4 years ago. Like, I don't know what's spoiled about that. I mean, I think we all go in with the basis, of the fact that Tom Brady's great, and he has been consistently great for a long time.
Right.
Like, I don't think anybody's arguing that.
Chris with the TINs on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Okay. How about you?
Good.
I've been better.
Hang in there, Paul. Don't worry. The sun will shine.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
It'll be all right, brother. The Tlaib trade.
What do you got?
I like the move because they're addressing a need, and you know, I think Andy or you said it, or Paul said it the other day, that maybe even Fred said it. I forget who said it, but you
probably
know,
not
I,
Fred. If it was a good point.
I always like the aggressiveness going out and addressing a problem.
Yeah.
The only question I have is, and you guys touched upon it, is, you know, if both safeties are healthy and Gregory and Chung, do you put McCourty back at corner? And I'm with you, Paul. I don't think they do. I think they keep McCourty at safety.
I don't think they will. I don't. I just think if you're just looking at the best guys available, I think, you know, you put McCourty at the other. And I think they may think that now that they have, Tlaib out there, that's going to help McCourty, you know?
Does Belichick think McCourty is a better corner or a better safety?
I don't know. Paul, what do you think? Do you have any idea what they think?
I think that they want to put McCourty at safety. I don't agree
really?
With it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what they end up doing. We won't know for a couple of weeks. But I feel like, and I said this yesterday, that whole line really scared me after the Jets game of, you know, well, Devin did a good job of keeping everything in front of him.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's worth when the other team throws for 340 yards, a team that averages about 140 yards through the air especially.
Well, that's what scared you. He thought it was sufficient enough to
give up 26 points and 300-plus yards passing to that offense, to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear anything complimentary about anything in the secondary after a game like that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. That raised a red flag, too, when I –
But,
you
Christian,
know,
I think it's a good question. We'll never know the answer, but what do they think? Do they think he's a better cornerback than he is a safety?
Yeah, and because even if they make the move, and it's not like the definitive answer as to what they think, because you don't know what the health situation is with Chung and Gregory and what they feel like they can do. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's not something that you're just going to be able to know by their actions. You know, there's going to be different interpretations as to what they end up doing. I just feel like they want to move McCourty to safety.
Well,
I don't know what the reasoning is.
I will say this. If they thought he was that good a corner, they wouldn't even consider moving him. You don't do that, right?
Well, no. It all depends on what they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All depends on what they have.
You don't take...
If they have... I mean, if the situation like last year, when they just had no help at safety, they had nobody to play it, you got to do something. You got to put the guy you think it could fill in at safety the best. And that might be what it is. Now, if they just move McCourty to safety permanently for the rest of his career, then they're telling you they don't think he's as good a cornerback as he is safety.
Right.
That's, you know, that to me would be an answer. But in the short term this year, they might look at it and say, well, I don't know if we can count on Chung with his injury situation, and I need to make a move. And the other guys aren't as good at safety as McCourty is. And Dennard is okay at corner. I can put him there. You know what I mean? That's not necessarily saying I think he's a better safety than corner.
And I think that aside from the lack of talent that's been there, you know, that safety position, and you guys talked about it yesterday, about the consistency, there hasn't been any.
No.
And that's just it's a trickle-down effect to your corners not being able to trust the guy behind them. I mean, you got Ahedebo, you got Slater. Now you got your Wilson and you got McCourty, and you thought you were going to have Gregory and Chung, and you haven't had Chung in like 2 years.
That's true, you know.
You
and that's
Gregory for like four games, so
right. And that's part of it. You know, it's going to be. I don't see him coming back, Chung. I just don't.
What do you mean? You think he's going to go on IR? Or
no. I mean, it's next. I meant next year. His contract is up.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I wasn't really clear with
that.
I don't think they're going to re-sign, unless he just says, you know what, I love it here and I want to come back for nothing. You know, give me a 2-year contract, you know, two years, $2 million or something, you know, something really low. I don't think
it could be like Mike Griffin offering Griffin money, $7 million a year.
I don't think we have to take a shot. Yeah, no, there was a lot of those guys that were doing it. It was amazing to me. You know, the guys that were getting franchised at safety, like Eric Weddle, was signing long-term deals. And think what you want about Eric Weddle, but the Patriots weren't franchising Patrick Chung. And they were saying, well, there's the market. That's the Patrick Chung market. I'm like, what am I missing? This guy can't play. I mean, he can't play 16 games. I shouldn't say he can't play.
Right.
I think when he's healthy, he's certainly serviceable.
Right.
But he's never healthy.
Right.
All right.
Let's see. Kev at work writes in, hey, guys, and probably not Eric since he barely works. I just got around to the argument yesterday about how much impact Talib has to make in order for the trade to work out. So thought I'd quickly weigh in because I really would like to know your thoughts on this, Fred. If you don't think marginal improvement over any corner is worth it if it's not your top corner, then you must have thought that Sterling Moore signing last year was worth it. He was not our best corner. It was only a slight improvement over some of our others. But guess what? That marginal improvement would be what broke up the pass in the AFC Championship game. That's exactly why your argument doesn't work. I agree it's not nearly worth as much if Talib is not better than McCourty, but it's still very much worth it because one play could mean the difference. You need to stop saying not worth it if he's only better than Arrington and not McCourty. You need to say it's disappointing, and it would make a lot more sense. All right.
Yeah, I mean, we went through this yesterday. To me, the bottom line is if you think he helps your football team, does he make your football team better?
Yeah.
And I think whether he makes your team, you know, better to the point where he's the best player on the team at that position or the second best, I think he still helps you.
Robert writes in, on the drive into work this morning, more than a woman started playing. Couldn't help but thinking of the old disco discussions with Fred. The vision of Paul in a white suit at 4 years old had me chuckling.
Who is this?
Robert.
Robert, I heard that, I believe, on Monday. And I sang it out loud in the car by myself,
but
driving down 128.
What is that? Oh, more
it's
than
a Saturday
a woman.
Night Fever song. More than a woman. More than
What's
a woman.
What's that other song? More
me.
Than a woman.
And actually, two versions of that song, Freddie.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees had the more popular one for Saturday Night Fever, and Tavares also had a version of that.
No one knows disco like Paul Perreault. Disco and low-level collegiate sports.
Listen, Andy's not here. You don't need to take the... By the way, I should let everybody know that Fred decided with Deion Branch today,
right,
as we're all talking, he had to take some shots at me about my low-level sports watching.
Well,
in front of Deion.
Well, he was saying how he goes to the Louisville game, and I explained to him that you like to drive down I-95 by yourself to the CAA.
Yeah, see, that part of it was totally unnecessary. I had said to him, I go to the CAA tournament, and I laughed, and I said, you don't even know what that is, right? And he didn't. And I told him who was in the league, and then he knew. And, of course, Fred has to say, hey, he drives by himself down I-95. He's a loser. Yeah, it was totally unnecessary, totally uncalled for.
But true.
But good job. Was it Robert? I forget already.
I'm
going.
Robert with the More Than a Woman.
Great song.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking? More Than a Feeling. Who sang that song? More Than a Feeling.
That's Boston.
Boston. Okay.
That's a totally different kind of song.
That's rock and roll.
That's a 70s corporate rock kind of song. Garbage.
You didn't like Boston?
They're all right.
That first album.
Boston
was
okay. I actually had that. Believe it or not, I had an 8-track of that.
That first album was amazing. Everything else was terrible that they produced. But that first album was really good.
Now, was that all like Peace of Mind? Was that on that same?
I don't remember.
Do you know that song?
I'm not sure. I know Dancing in the Streets of Hyannis.
I'm not going to sing the songs because I could see Idiot in there getting all ready for various drops. Did you get my More Than a Woman there? More than a woman to me.
I can mark tape.
You got to hear me sing my Bee Gees falsetto in the car.
Mark from Cheddar writes in, hey, Fred in the Hall of Famer.
That's me, Fred.
I know. Believe me, I tell people all the time.
Yeah, that's another one you need to stop.
A question for you. If you showed Belichick the coach's film from a random Patriots play from some other point earlier this season, do you reckon he would be able to tell what the scheme was and each player's responsibility without being reminded of the defense called? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They have keys.
As long as he could see enough of the play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No doubt. Could you ask Belichick the question? I don't think he'd be able to tell, and it is his team. I think it would give you evidence that Pro Football Focus idiots are idiots. No, I disagree. I think he would know because they have keys.
Yeah, I think you're right, but not for that reason. I think the Pro Football Focus guys are like everybody else, and I applaud them for giving the effort, but they don't know. Bill Belichick would know by looking at it what the scheme was and what the call was.
Jess writes in, this is a question from that hasn't been asked in a while. I just wanted to bring up everyone's favorite topic from August, Brian Waters. What's the deal with him? I don't remember him retiring. So what happens to his rights after the season? Do the Patriots retain them indefinitely until he reports, retires, or is traded? Or does he become a free agent after the season?
Yeah, there's been some talk this week now that the deadline passed for him to come back and get a season now. Remember with Logan Mankins, he had to come back
so
in 2010.
Retain his rights.
I think he would still be...
It's like Barry Sanders.
Correct.
Yeah.
He would be still the property of the Patriots for 1 year.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, I know he just wanted to play in Texas, you know? So now that...
I guess we should have probably given that some thought a little bit over the... Heading into the trading deadline as an interesting chip.
Well, it'd be interesting once they play.
I mean, obviously they didn't use it.
Yeah, once the season's over, you know, because obviously Houston's a team in play there, and you're going to play Houston, so you don't want to do anything
to help them. They wouldn't have traded them to Houston.
Yeah. Why not?
Because you're not going to help a team that you're going
against.
That's
what I'm saying. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. But I'm saying once the season's over, you might trade them to Houston.
Yeah, I don't think they would. That's an AFC power. Why would you trade? Why would you potentially make your an opponent better?
To get a fourth-round pick? That you just
so
lost?
So that's worth making the other team better?
Does it make him that much better? I mean, he's a year older
it's
now.
It's unbelievable how 3 months ago we were all sitting here saying, I can't believe he's not coming back. What are we going to do? And these guys, and now he's like, does he make them better?
No.
Yeah, he would make them better.
But that much, I mean, are they that hurting on their offensive line? I don't know.
Everybody needs offensive linemen.
Yeah.
He would make your offensive line better right now.
But does it make us better to get a fourth-round pick back? You know, what's the value there?
Yeah, I just don't think
right now he's doing nothing for you.
But a fourth round pick isn't worth making your a potential AFC rival better.
Patriots traded
him to Dallas for a fourth round pick.
Patriots gave the Bills Bledsoe.
But that wasn't a rival. Buffalo stinks.
What?
And they stopped. Buffalo was 2-14.
It made them better.
It made them better, but not good enough.
Okay. You know,
Buffalo was not an AFC East rival. They couldn't win a game.
But
it was amazing that Bledsoe took that team to 9. Do you know that's the last time they finished with a winning record?
Paul, I'm not surprised you know that. But, you know, I think it made them better. But they said, you know.
That was a bad, bad team. Yes, it made Buffalo better. But we got a first-round pick, by the way, for Bledsoe, not a fourth. And we had no fear that Buffalo was any good.
Well, look, let's just say that Houston is the only team interested in trading for.
I wouldn't trade them.
You just let them sit and.
Mm-hmm. I'd let him rot. Now, if, you know, Kansas City wanted to give me a fourth-round pick, sure. They're no threat. They're not going to hurt me. He can go back to the Chiefs.
But he doesn't want to.
No. You know, Dallas.
Yeah.
If Dallas wanted him, certainly.
Now, he has no say in where he gets traded. There's no such thing as trade clauses in the NFL. So
no.
Wherever they decide to trade him. But a team like Kansas City, who knows he's not going to play for us, he's going to sit out, wouldn't do it. You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know what is going on with Brian Waters. I don't.
Yeah.
If it's just he wants to play in Texas, I don't know.
Well, you know, they call the wide receivers divas in the NFL, but when it comes to like retirement time, offensive linemen are the divas.
Yeah, there are a lot of them that kind of.
Yeah.
They do it in the last minute. And,
yeah. During training camp, middle of the season. Clint writes in, I'm sitting in physics class right now at Old Dominion. Listening to you guys with
good
my
CAA
headphones.
Talk, Freddie.
I'm listening to you guys with my headphones instead of the professor. My question is this. Who do we want to see in the playoffs? Last year, I did not want to see Pittsburgh or the Ravens. I wanted to see the Broncos or the Bengals. Is there any playoff-bound team this year that wouldn't be a scary matchup in the first round? Also, most terrifying Super Bowl matchup? Falcons with those receivers, tight ends? Okay, so first, who don't you want to see in the playoffs if you're in the AFC?
Well, last year I agree with him. It was Pittsburgh and Baltimore. This year I would add to those two Houston and Denver as teams that I would say could beat the Patriots. I'm not saying the Patriots wouldn't be favored to beat all four of those teams. They might be. But all four of those teams, to me, right now, are formidable.
Yeah.
Things can change over the next eight weeks. The only...
Are we as worried about the Ravens this year as we were last year?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I was more worried last January about Baltimore than I am right now. But this January, in 2013, I might feel the same.
Especially if it's in Baltimore and not here.
Right. That's one. And two, they'll have had eight games to sort of adjust. You know, they only allowed 15 points the other day. You know, I know they struggled against Cleveland. That's one of your things that you go with, though. It's
right.
A division game, you know, and sometimes you never know. That was a weird game to me. I watched like the first 10 minutes and the last 5 minutes, and while I was watching, Baltimore won 25-0.
Yeah.
They came out and scored two touchdowns in their first two drives, Baltimore. It was 14-0. I went to my son's soccer game. I came back. They were losing 15-14 halfway through the fourth quarter. Then I saw Baltimore go on a terrific 80-yard drive, go right down the field, score a touchdown, take the lead, got a two-point conversion, picked off Whedon, kicked a field goal, and won 25-15.
And here's why
what I watched was utter domination.
Yeah, and here's where my being a homer hurt me in my initial valuation of Baltimore when Ray Lewis got hurt. You know, you think, oh, Ray Lewis is hurt. They're going to collapse, you know, blah, blah, blah. Terrell Suggs is still not 100%. But, you know, the Patriots aren't the only team that has players step up
and that's
when key guys get hurt.
And everybody talks about the similarities,
right,
you know, with Shiano. I think there's a lot of similarities between Belichick and Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
I think they do a lot of things really similar. And next guy up.
Right.
You know, and
especially on that team, if Ray Lewis is still your emotional leader, he's going to be behind that
guy. And that's
guy
why
that
he
steps
still
up. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why he's still there. You know,
right.
He's on the IR designated for return, and I think that's part of the reason.
Right.
Is they want to leave that carrot to him
right.
to
so,
kind of keep him
so
involved.
I made a mistake by initially saying, "Oh, that they're done."
Now,
no, they're not, because they have the type of team like the Patriots and like other good teams,
if they're in
players
fact,
step up.
That's a great point. If they're in fact done, it's going to be because Flacco isn't doing it. And
right.
and he's been sort
same
of...
Same reason as before.
He's the same guy.
Right, right.
He, you know, and I like Flacco more than most, but he's so maddeningly inconsistent that you can't rely on him. And even in that game the other day, that drive that I was talking about at the end of the game, he was excellent. He was excellent. He made great reads, good decisions, got the ball out quick and accurately, and bang, they score. And, you know, I don't know what happened in the previous 3.5 quarters where they did nothing, but I have to imagine that he was a big part of it. You know, Ray Rice had about 100 yards. He only threw for like 150 or 180 yards in
right.
the game. To me, if Baltimore is not a threat in the playoffs, it's going to be because the offense wasn't able to do it, not because the because the defense was sort of inconsistent throughout the first half of the season. Very un-Baltimore-like numbers defensively all year. Ironically, it looks like they're getting it a little bit better now with these
right.
guys out. The Webb loss is huge for them, especially against a team like the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because Ladarius Webb was good against New England. You know, there's a difference between just being a good player and then being good against the Patriots.
Right.
He was a good player against the Patriots.
It's like that defensive end that the Bills used to have.
Aaron Schobel.
Aaron Schobel.
Great, yeah. Great example.
Yeah.
Great example.
Just matched up well with us.
I think Baltimore, I think a lot of people might think differently of them in about 6 weeks. I mean, they have some tough games. They still play Pittsburgh twice.
Right.
I think they play Denver. I think they play at San Diego. And I know San Diego's not great, but that's, you know, it's
yeah.
one of those teams you never know when they're going to show up and they play
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I think they play the Giants. So that's it. They have some tough games left to play. I don't think they're going to end up with a bye, Baltimore. And ain't a team I'd want to see come here in the first round, I'll tell you that.
Now, most terrifying Super Bowl matchup?
Green Bay, to me.
Green Bay,
yeah.
Just because of their
they
can match you,
yard
for yard.
People will probably make fun of me. I don't necessarily want to see the Giants in a Super Bowl,
yeah.
You know, based on a couple of things. Based on, I think they're a very good team, and the history.
Yeah, I'm not terrified of any
team. I'm not terrified of anybody.
But you know, as far as matchups go, Green Bay could hurt you.
I think Green Bay could go out and play their game,
right.
And there ain't nothing you could do about
right.
it. You
and
know what I mean?
Right.
I think they're that talented when they're on.
Right.
Now, I think the Patriots are like that in some ways, too. I think the Patriots could light up Green Bay.
Right. You could have a 52-49 game.
Now, the other part of that question, you know, like last year we had Denver and Cincinnati. right now, I know it sounds a little silly, but Indianapolis is a playoff team right now. I'll play them anytime you want in the playoff game. I think we're going to kill them in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not overly – I'm very impressed with Andrew Luck. I'm not impressed with any other element of the team. And I think that – God bless them, more power to them for doing what they're doing in support of their coach. But I think they're going off adrenaline and fumes. I don't think they're very talented. So that would be the team I'd most want to play.
Ross in Canada had the same question. What team scares you the most? So we just answered that. That's interesting.
I do think Pittsburgh is sort of coming into the picture. To your surprise, you sort of thought that they were done. I think Roethlisberger is getting used to his new offensive coordinator.
You're right.
He's been complaining a little bit earlier in the year about, you know, the dink and dunk aspect, and his numbers have been great.
That was an impressive win.
And, not only they won at the Giants, which was a tough – that's a tough win, but they overcame all kinds of adversity within the game.
Right.
And even, you know, heading into the game, traveling on the day of the game.
If I was a Steelers fan, I'd have been yelling by halftime, the fix is in. I swear to God, because I was yelling it anyway.
I was doing it.
Right.
But, you know, I want to do that.
And I love seeing Pittsburgh lose, but, man, they – got screwed.
There's a lot of
nuts
five
and bolts. They got screwed.
There's a lot of 5-3 teams right now that I think are sort of emerging as contenders, and it's going to be interesting to see over the next four games before we get to December. Who is say 8-4?
Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania says, speaking of the band Boston, they play the Patriots' secondary theme song, "Don't Look Back," from their second album. So a little haha.
So no one can tell me the songs on that first album. I do remember More Than a Feeling.
More Than a Feeling. Smoking was another song.
Peace of Mind wasn't one of them?
I don't know. It could have been. It was a great album. It set the record for biggest sales for a debut album for a band. It set the record.
Yeah, I definitely remember listening to the songs and stuff, but I was more into the disco, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as Robert says, with my white leisure suit.
Now, did you have the parted hair in the middle, feathered back?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, by the
for
way.
For a short time.
By
now.
The way.
I had it straight back for most of the time.
Did you see after Scott Brown did his concession speech on the stage, Doug Flutie?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to throw up.
He had the feathered. He's still wearing the 70s.
Remember, they used to make fun of him when he played. The 80s called. They want their hair back.
Right. Still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
I was. Yeah. Brandon writes in. I had a very lucid dream last night.
Lucid.
I was meeting with Jeff in Vegas. In Vegas, I was taken back because I had to completely fund the trip. I remember thinking, a guy with all this money makes me pay my way. We met in his headquarters. I saw him and said, "You're just as short as I thought you were." The building was a wreck, too. He didn't have the accent. I just remember thinking, man, this guy is a total fraud. Nevertheless, he's entertaining. That's all I have. So now our listeners are dreaming about other listeners. Listener on listener dreams.
This is quite a show.
That's how much we've, really, I don't know, dyed our way into the fabric of our listeners' minds.
Listen. We have enough things that factor into people's minds without getting into dreams on listener and listener. I can't tell you how many times something random has come up Patriots related in my everyday life.
Oh,
it's embarrassing.
Mark says, "Hey, Fatso 1 and Fatso 2, you think Belichick will recognize the keys at each play and be able to tell the responsibilities? You are boobs. Have you seen the defense this season? Have you? If they have been following the keys and playing the right technique, then sack Belichick right now because he's lost his touch."
Very, very well done.
All right.
Fred didn't like it. Homer Fred didn't like it.
All right, it's 12:59. We haven't taken a break.
No.
So let's do that right now. We'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, utilizing including state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
A lot of people emailing in about that first Boston album. VIP
I was hoping for that.
Tells us that it spawned three singles, More Than a Feeling, Long Time, and Peace of Mind, all of which made the national charts. Additionally, the album peaked at number 3 in the Billboard 200 and remained on the charts for 132 weeks.
Yeah, I definitely I remember that now, too. Long Time. I know that one, too.
And then Josh
So maybe I'm more of a Boston fan than I thought, Fred.
More Than a Feeling, Peace of Mind, Foreplay / Long Time, Rock and Roll Band, Smokin', Hitch a Ride, Something About You, and Let Me Take You Home Tonight.
That was on the same one?
Home? All the same album.
Oh, wow.
It was a great album.
That is a terrific album.
Yep.
Those are a lot of recognizable songs for a guy that doesn't really like a lot of...
I kind of miss that, and maybe I'm just not into music as much as I was. But, you know, now with all the digital downloads, people tend to download singles more than...
And you don't realize they're all on the same album.
Think about when we were young, Billy Joel the Stranger.
Yeah. Glass Houses.
I was about to swear.
Glass Houses.
Glass Houses.
Awesome.
You know, even before our time, where I was real little, Elton John's Yellow Brick Road... Peter Frampton's Comes Alive, the double album.
Alive.
You know, these are like
I had I literally had 8 tracks of almost all of those.
These are pieces of work that have to be bought as a whole. You know, you can't pick and choose. Pink Floyd's, you know, Dark Side of the Moon. I would never think of just buying one of those songs. You have to buy the complete work. And I don't know if maybe strippers or Brooklyn Mac can tell me if that's still the case, but you know, you looked at those things as complete pieces of work. You couldn't, you know, cherry pick them. You had to have the whole album to get the true sense of what they did. And I don't know if that – I think that's lost in today's music. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it might be. And it is interesting. I wonder what the numbers on stuff like that is, because it's so much of the downloads. Does that hurt? Like CDs and all that stuff, does that hurt them?
Yeah, I mean,
how do they get paid?
I think they still, you know, iTunes pays them out, and you know, all the other services, Rhapsody, they all pay them out, so they're still making money.
I mean, obviously they're making money, but do they make as much in sales as they did before, or do they have to rely on touring and stuff like
that? Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. John writes in, yes, Peace of Mind was on the first Boston album. I was never into disco. In fact, the only way I know
I'm in the vast minority.
Right. The only way I know More Than a Woman is from the movies. Paul, you have to get off this disco crap. Now I'm picturing you in satin shorts, rainbow suspenders, and roller skates like Eric in that 70s show. No, that's not the kind of disco. That was more, I don't know what you call that, but that wasn't the, dare I say it, Italian disco.
I don't know why you have to do that.
Denny Terrio disco. That was more like Gallagher. I know Gallagher's a comedian, but that was like the roller skating with the wide rainbow suspenders. That was different than the traditional disco with the crystal ball.
There was also a lot of the 70s stuff was broken up really. Like the 70s show was not a disco show. That was more of a rock. They were kind of burnout kind of rockers.
Psychedelic.
You know? They weren't, you know, that it's not all the same. But most guys, and that's why, you know, when you made fun of me, and I'm guilty as charged, most guys weren't into disco.
Well, they were.
Girls were into disco.
Guys
were like WCOZ, kick-ass rock and roll.
But there was a group of guys in that would love to go to the disco. Love to go.
Yeah, I wasn't old enough. I know that you make fun of me all the time. I'm being honest with you.
I went to school.
I didn't go to discos.
When I was in college, you know, I went to school with a couple kids, the Santanella brothers from Long Island, and he would tell me, you know, I'll drive into New York and I can feel that boom, boom, boom before I even get there, and it gets me going. You know, this is in the days of Studio 56 and
54.
The heyday.
Studio 54.
Oh, 54, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? That was the heyday, you know, and a lot of guys were into it. Trust me. I just wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I didn't have, you know, some of my friends really liked it. And then, you know, when you're in like your neighborhood and everybody was the same. And then all of a sudden when you get a little bit older and you start meeting people.
Right.
And then you're like, you sort of had to hide that.
In your case, meeting people in the next street. But that's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, you didn't have, I mean, the city and town you grew up in. Did you know the people that were like on your block better than you did that lived across town?
Actually, I did, because there weren't any kids in my
I grew up in a city, not really
it's
rural.
Different.
The people that lived were my best friends, all lived really close to me.
Right.
And then as you get older, you hit middle school and stuff, and you're able to.
In your case, they were called relatives, but that's all right.
Oh, for God's sakes. You end up meeting people from, you know, other neighborhoods that you didn't really know that well until you started playing sports and you got a little older so you could go, you know, sort of venture away from your block a little bit.
Right.
And you had to hide the fact that you liked disco because you didn't know if they would, like, make fun of you.
I went to DY for high school. I remember, you know, you up to middle school, it was just Dennis. But then when you went to high school, it was a regional school. And I remember, you know, in eighth grade, they said, oh, when you get to DY, you know, those Yarmouth kids, when you fight them, they use knives. You know, it's the next town over, okay? You know, and they're just like us. No different. Jerry from California is on the line, the Ace Ticket Hotline. How you doing, Jerry?
Oh, I'm doing great. I think I heard you say earlier that Andy's not in today.
He's not. He's got
but
a sick kid.
I will pass along any kind of criticism that you would like.
Okay, well, that's why I called up. But I was hoping I was going to criticize him while he was there. But I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Andy said something that was just flat-out untrue, and I was kind of surprised that nobody called him on it or did this, that, and the other. But I'll remind you, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he said specifically that there's no such thing as a perfect pass, and a defender, if he does his job correctly, can always defend against any pass. And that's simply not true.
Yeah, again, it's judgmental, but I agree with you. I think that there are cases where you look at it and goes, man, there's nothing that guy could have done. That was just perfect.
No, you can have great coverage and get beat by a perfect pass, but you could be in a different spot and be able to stop the perfect pass from being completed. I think that's Andy's point.
Right.
But again, you guys are right. It's a semantic argument again.
Again, which, it's being too technical.
Yeah, too many of our arguments lately have degenerated into like Greg Brady exact words.
Right.
Remember that episode of Brady Bunch? You guys got to look that up.
Well,
Brooklyn Matt will inform you.
Okay.
But I agree with you, Jerry, for your larger point.
Yeah, if the ball is thrown correctly, it's going to be just, well, not correctly, but if it's thrown perfectly, it's going to be just off the fingertips of the defender and just on the fingertips of the receiver for the simple reason they can't physically both be in the same spot or whatever. But anyhow, like I said, that was something I think. Maybe we'll bring it up Andy later.
But in the next...
By the way, this is another... quick little question. You guys are always talking about lunch and people buying you lunch and this, that, and the other. Now, by the way,
it's a very important part of our lives.
I am not volunteering to buy you lunch at the moment.
That's okay.
Like
you don't need to do that.
No, okay. But my point is that there's something that's kind of missing in that discussion. I mean, there are lots of people that, you know, they can buy a jet plane or whatever, put it on their credit card and never ask the price of whatever because they don't worry about money. And then there are other people that do worry about such things. So when you're talking about buying lunch, you're talking about 3 or 4 people or 47 people in the production crew and is the cost and the hundreds of dollars?
No, it's three or four people.
Five people at the most.
Yeah, it's Fred, Andy, Eric, Kevin, and myself.
No, we're not. I always feel embarrassed that people do that.
I do too. I gladly accept it, but I do always feel.
I feel guilty. I'd have a couple of conditions. First of all, I'd have to be there, and second of all, it would have to be in the Sam Adams Brewery. I would buy the food, and you guys would have to buy the beer, and everything would work out.
Oh, well, you can
probably probably one of the best shows that you've ever done.
Can you imagine me drunk on this show?
Oh,
there is no limit to the amount of arguments I could get into while drunk.
There is a precedent for people being here when they buy us lunch.
That
but,
is correct.
Alcohol cannot be involved.
If you ever find yourself out this way, Jerry, you hit us up and we'll see if we can make that happen.
I did do a shot during a show once.
Oh, that's right.
When the guys from England came over and they brought the Scottish whiskey.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, if I ever make it back that way, I certainly might. I've never been to a Patriots game or this, that, and the other. In fact, I've never been to a professional football game. So.
Oh.
But if I ever went to one, I certainly want to go to a Patriots football game. So.
Those are the best.
Well, you guys have a great time, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry's from California. Never been to a football game. He doesn't sound like a young guy either.
No.
You
know? No. And you would think that he would have seen one of the many California teams.
Yeah. Interesting.
Over the years.
Aaron says that the feed was messed up, unless you're broadcasting from the cafeteria. The sound quality and background noise is good. The dude keeps saying testing, testing, testing every 5 minutes. What's going on back there,
Kevin? We got the streams crossed with the press conference.
What's going on back
there? First I've heard of that. But he might have been listening to the press conference and thought he was listening to us.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Which happens to us quite a bit on the post-game show. People will click the Listen Live app to the pressers and expect to get Adam, and they're like, well, where is he?
Well, we're one of the few teams that give you multiple live offerings at the same time. So you have to be careful which stream that you're hitting. Kevin's all bundled up back there. What are you, cold or something?
Yeah, it's pretty cold back here. Apparently it's snowing outside.
It has been cold in Kevin's studio over there.
God.
It has been cold.
Have you hear what he just said?
Yeah, well,
it's snowing.
There is a nor'easter going on.
I know,
you know that. Right?
I thought it was going to be like temperature in the 40s.
Yeah, they said it could be some snow as well.
Oh, God, it's so depressing.
I looked at the old radar there, Fred, and we're right on the line of where the snow meets the rain in the 495 belt.
Oh, God.
Your room has lately been at least 8 degrees warmer than mine.
I do see
And it's a little chilly in here.
There's a lot of hot air in here.
Yeah, well, Andy's not here, so that's why I'm a little cold today.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398
Royal
is the
died,
ace
huh?
ticket highlight. Oh, is that right?
He used to coach Texas, Fred. I thought I would just cut to the chase and let you know who Darryl Royal was.
All right.
88 years old.
Wow.
Legendary.
Legendary?
Yeah, Texas head coach.
So
John Rook will be
wearing black today, you think?
Well, he usually does when he comes in with his Friar.
That's true.
Friar attire.
Larry writes in, hello, Fred and Paul. Since it was a bye week and I'm bored and just saw Vic get vaporized by the weak Saints defense, I noticed the Falcons are listed number one on the NFL.com website based on wins alone. I don't particularly care about where the Patriots are ranked since the Packers, Texans, and 49ers are also listed below Atlanta as well. Elliot Harrison spends more time on his suits and hair than paying attention to teams and, more importantly, the competition. The Falcons have played mediocre teams, and their best win was against the Broncos in week 2 before Manning and his team figured things out. The Falcons claim they get no respect because they don't deserve any yet. In the modern NFL, the regular season stats go out the window. The Giants prove that. I went to Boston College just like Ryan and should be more supportive, but I'm still not convinced about him. Am I being too harsh? Those two big points the Falcons scored against the Giants in the NFC wildcard game were just awesome. Speaking of BC, I saw idiotic Doug Flutie playing drums on stage for loser Scott Brown last night. Does Falcons disrespected?
I think they are disrespected. I am one that disrespects them, though, if that makes any sense. But I do think they've been guilty of disrespect. And it's not just because I don't disrespect them because of their past failures. You know, that's probably part of why I'm disrespecting them. But, so they haven't won a playoff game. That doesn't have any more meaning to me in the 2012 playoffs for Atlanta than the Patriots went to the Super Bowl last year. That's not going to have much of a bearing on the 2012 playoffs either. They're going to have to go out and win games this year to get to the Super Bowl.
Is there something about having a playoff-tested team if the core of your team has been the same that was?
Yeah, but, almost all the time, a team that wins it is going to have to win it for the first time.
Right, right.
So,
but a lot of times we've seen in the past when the Patriots have been in matchups in the playoffs.
The majority of their team right now haven't been there before.
Right.
That's my point.
But people,
the majority of the, like last year,
yeah,
majority of those guys hadn't been there before.
That's what I'm saying. But when you do have a team that has a lot of guys that were there before, we've heard people say, well, they've been there before, so that gives them the edge and experience.
Yeah, I think people say that. I think it's like you have to run the ball to set up the pass.
You don't agree with it?
No, I think it's a cliche.
Okay.
I do. I think that it helps, but I don't think it's the be-all, end-all. Now, I agree with the emailer. The Falcons, I look at what they've done to go 8-0 and some of the struggles that they've had at home against, teams like Oakland and Carolina. I don't think they've had a lot of really impressive wins. Now, certainly you could say the same thing about the Patriots. Their best win is probably Denver, too. Right?
Well,
who's their best win?
You mean as far as quality of opponent?
Yeah. I mean, they haven't played. I mean, they have a very weak schedule.
Right.
I mean, even you agreed with that.
Sure.
Who have they, what was the best team they've beaten? Probably Denver, right?
Right, at this point, yep.
They'll have a couple of good opportunities, I think, in the second half. What was that?
I just hit my elbow. They should have beaten Baltimore.
Yeah, that would have been
took it away.
And that would have been a really good win.
Yep.
But they have two chances with Houston and San Francisco, both at home, and I would expect them to have a very good chance to win both of those games. And those would be good wins.
Frank in Saratoga, New York says, should or can we expect to see McCourty at safety, Dennard at corner, and CJ flip flopping from one side to the other on the line. I hope so. Prediction two, interception game. Two interception game for McCurdy and one fumble recovery for Spikes resulting in a TD. Okay. But the first one, should we expect to see McCurdy at safety? I
wouldn't this week.
But eventually. Dennard at corner, yep. And Chandler Jones flip-flopping. We've already seen it. And why would they
stop? Not a whole lot. I don't think you'll see them flip-flopping a whole lot.
But he will from time to time.
Will he have every play in one spot? Probably not. Yeah, right. But I don't think he flip-flops a lot.
Strippers with a quick over-under for Fitzpatrick. 1.5 touchdown passes this weekend.
Over.
274 yards passing.
Over.
Okay. So the coverage problems continue. Let's see. Tony is in Toronto, and he has he works for Universal Music.
Okay.
So he's going to give us some insight here. He says, yes, music sales have definitely taken a hit, and artists really do rely on other avenues for additional income. We're losing more jobs than the automakers or manufacturing sector, but hey, with the publishing field in a similar circumstance, you guys are well aware of the climate out there.
Right.
My football question there. So that's it.
I was looking to see how, you know, what are those other, is it just like touring or like what else did they do?
Right. Now for my football question, there appears to be a sentiment in the media that the NFC is so far superior to the AFC that it's not even close. I don't see it that way. With the exception of one or two teams, do you guys agree? I kind of share Andy's view that we're really going through a league-wide era of mediocrity. Finally, I've been a subscriber to the app for about a year, and it's just an excellent job you guys all are doing. Tony's talking about, of course, the iPad app, Patriots Football Daily. That you can download for iTunes, for the iPad, Patriots Football Daily, just great reviews for it.
I think that's a bit of a Fred Kirsch straw man argument. I think most people.
But it is a good app.
No, I think most people think the NFC is better. I'm not sure it's characterized as it's just ridiculously better, and there's no comparison between the two. But I think the NFC is better. I think when you look at the Giants, the Packers, the Niners. I mean, the Packers went to Houston and absolutely dismantled the Texans in Houston. Houston's the best the AFC has to offer. Green Bay is about the fourth best right now that the NFC has to offer, right? I mean, I think sometimes that stuff can be telling. I think the NFC, I don't think there's no comparison between the two. I think it's more even than that, but I think the NFC right now has more complete teams than the AFC does.
Alberto writes in, what's the scarier matchup for the Patriots, the 49ers or the Texans? He would say the Texans with that run game and their defensive pressure.
And their ability to pass the ball, too. I don't think the Niners can throw the ball the way the Texans can. Now, I know that he's right. The Texans are a running team, but they're both running teams. And then if you have to rely on a quarterback, who do you like more, Schaub or Smith? To me, Schaub is better.
If you just had a look at defense, who was the scarier defense for the Patriots?
San Francisco.
Yeah.
But not by much.
Yeah.
But Houston's is excellent.
But they scare me.
They are scared. I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I don't like to say I'm scared of anyone because I don't really think that the Patriots should be scared of anyone.
No, they shouldn't.
But I think that San Francisco's defense is better than Houston's.
Yeah. Plus, you know, who got hurt for Houston?
Brian Cushing.
Cushing got hurt. Didn't another guy?
He's out for the year.
Wasn't another guy got hurt?
I'm sure. I mean, yeah. At this stage of the season, I'm sure there's more than one guy injured.
Ken is in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Ken.
Hey, man. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great, Ken. How are you?
Not bad. I guess full week this week. I'll tell you, you know, I love to see the bye week this time of year so these guys get a good rest. Boy, I'll tell you, it leads for a boring 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. It seems like an eternity, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I'm having withdrawals.
Yeah.
And normally that's the end of the year.
I know. You get into a rhythm and it totally disrupts it.
Yeah, well, since we're just kind of, you know, BSing about other things, Romeo Crennel, what do you think?
Well, it's interesting that he elevated a guy to defensive coordinator over there.
Yeah.
Do you think he was forced to do that or was that his idea?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to be out at the end of the year, I would think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I agree. And I'm wondering, I mean, do you think he may make it back to New England?
Look, when he was first available, I wanted him not so much, oh, you know, the Patriots need a defensive coordinator in the architectural sense, but I felt they needed a guy in a communication sense.
And you know what? Everybody that played for him always said what a great guy he was.
Right. Just a guy to be the go-between between the defense and Belichick, help out Belichick, but also, you know, get the message out to the guys and just, you know, from a communication standpoint, be that guy that, you know, they talk to on a daily basis. So.
Yeah, and I think Matt Patricia is a great guy, but I think Romeo Crennel has a lot more experience.
Of course he does.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is, you know, like for the whole repeat of last year with Josh, you know, did they do that with Romeo? And I obviously you can't rule it out, but he's been available a lot of times and the Patriots haven't brought him back.
Right. No, and they didn't do it last time. So unless, you know, they knew or he knew that he had a head coaching opportunity, and who knows, maybe they did talk and he said no.
And, you know, you can't blame a guy for taking a head coach's position.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
He was available as a defensive coordinator.
You know.
He hasn't just been a head coach since he's left. He's been a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And the Patriots haven't brought him back.
Yeah.
Even when they didn't have a defensive coordinator.
True.
Right. Yep. Well, I was just wondering what your guys' take was on the thought of him coming back.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of those things where, oh, you're bringing in this guy and you're going to disrupt everything and he's going to have his own system.
No.
I think he just fits in and you know, and does what you need him to do. And I don't think it would be a disruption at all. I think it would be.
And even though he's not a secondary coach per se.
No, his preference is up front, defensive line.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, we do need some help back there.
Yeah.
With any experience we can get.
Help is coming. Aqib Talib.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced on that one.
Yeah, you and me both, Ken.
You know, we'll see what we'll see.
Okay, Ken. Thanks for the call.
Okay, man.
Yeah. Tony in Toronto's back. You know,
he's our music guy.
I goaded him into giving us more information.
Yeah, you said, that's it?
He says, sorry, Paul. That was actually
me. That was Fred who chastised you.
Yes, other avenues would be touring. That's the biggest one. Publishing, like getting your songs in movies, TV shows, and commercials.
Nice.
Also selling merchandise like T-shirts, posters. That is a new thing. The commercials.
Commercials.
There was a time when, you know, a current band would never have their song in a commercial.
Bastardized in a commercial.
That was selling out.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people learn about music through commercials.
Even right here, you're looking at NFL Network. They have something playing. Obviously, we don't have the volume on, but they have the name of the song and the artist and stuff like that. And you see that all the time on ESPN with SportsCenter and stuff. They go in and out with.
Right.
And they credited it.
Yeah.
You know, and you've seen that with some commercials, too.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a new thing. That's like the last decade. You know, teams, I think U2 might have broke ground with that years ago with the iPod. But, you know, bands would never want their music in commercials. Also, iTunes does pay by the song, and subscription services such as RDO, RDIO, pay by the stream. But all of the payments are pennies compared to the money executives were stuffing in their pockets in the 70s.
Hmm.
Now, the one good thing it has done is for the new bands, it's given them a lower bar to entry. You know, they can get there independently, produce their songs, and get it out there, where in the past, you had to go through these record companies.
Well, look at how many people nowadays get discovered even without all of that, you know, YouTube stuff.
You know, so there is a low.
All these different reality shows. There's,
right.
There's a lot of different
ones. So the payoff is you're not, you know, you don't have to go through the record company, so to speak, to get out there anymore.
You going to watch Jimmy Johnson tonight?
No.
No? Oh. Even though Coach Bill is in it?
No, I haven't watched any of those.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not saying that.
I mean, if you want to get the full story on something, that's not where you want to go.
Now that
this isn't like an HBO documentary that they're going to get their nails dirty.
Yeah. Now that the election's over, I'll probably have more time to watch.
Oh my God, you're so insufferable. I find these football lives, I find them very interesting and entertaining. I just, you know, they're produced by NFL Films, so they're only telling you one side of the story. And you have to know that going in. It's not an HBO documentary where,
right?
You know, they're going to give you some dirt too. But Jimmy Johnson tonight, I'm interested in him.
Josh says, if Wilson Hart Power Index is really good at picking how good each team is, then how come each week the rankings change? Can't anyone make a random list that changes each week? Not trying to be an a-hole, I just don't get the point.
Because it changes because it's a formula.
Well, I think, yeah.
It's not just an opinion.
Right. The way Andy's thing does, it's strictly numbers. There's no opinion in it whatsoever. It is, you plug in the numbers from last week, you accumulate that with the numbers up to that point, and it spits out who's the best team. Now, I think, you know, the point the email is trying to make is for those other rankings, you know, why do they change from week to week? If a team is a good team, even if they lose, they should still be that good team. But those things are for fun. It's not like the BCS where, oh, my God, things are, you know, a team's, you know, championship life is based on it. It's just for fun, all these rankings. It means nothing. It's completely subjective, you know. So that's about that.
That's about that?
Yeah. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tim writes in from Winnipeg, and I'm going to broach into a subject here that usually we don't, but, you know, I think it's a legitimate question. It's a question about Spygate.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
He says, as a Patriots fan, I'm constantly defending the team against the many Patriots haters out here in icy Winnipeg. Never fails that these discussions about the Patriots always end with Spygate and how we're just a bunch of cheaters and our records don't count. Although I know Spygate was a result of the team not following the rules, did the videotaping really give them that much of an advantage? I've been equating the information gathered during videotaping to information gathered from the photographs the team gets on the sideline during the game. Were they getting other information from the tapes? Am I too much of a homer to look at this objectively?
I don't really have an answer for you. I don't have any idea
I
how
have
much
an opinion.
Information.
I mean, I think if it wasn't worth doing, they wouldn't have done it. Because there was a lot of work involved. They had to match up the tape they got on the sideline later on with the plays and the clock, you know, the scoreboard. So there was a lot of editing, post-editing that had to be done. So I think it was worth doing, but it was just another way to gather the same a better way to gather the same information that other teams were doing, you know, trying to steal signs. That's what it came down to. That's why coaches hold up that play card in front of their mouths so that the other team doesn't read their lips and find out what plays they're calling. You know, but so was it a huge factor? No. You know, but I think it was worth doing.
Yeah, I really have no idea. I don't know how big of a
factor.
It might have been the biggest factor in all three titles.
By the way, and I think that other teams are doing other things that probably they think is equally valuable to do, and they haven't been found out yet. You know,
I don't know that either.
To me, it's a
completely impossible thing to quantify. I don't know what the standard operating procedure is in the league.
Right. But all I can say is they were doing it. You know, and I don't think they'd waste time doing something that had
value. On the surface, I kind of tend to agree with you on that statement. If it's worth doing, then I don't see why they weren't getting any benefit from it.
Right.
If they were going to do it, I don't see why you would do it for nothing.
Right. Now, was it the reason they won Super Bowls? No. There's no way that's true. Paulie in L.A., our celebrity out there who was in that Visa commercial with the San Francisco 49ers.
See, but you know what? Getting back to your whole thing there, I mean, that's impossible to, like, really put it. If you think it helped and there was any way to possibly quantify what it helped with, it's not like they won every game 80-0.
Right.
There were close games, one particular game that could have gone either way, that maybe you got an item of information from, and that was the difference between you going to the Super Bowl and winning it and not.
But
who knows?
Right.
That's why I say I don't really feel qualified because I don't know what they got from the tapes.
Right.
I don't know what Bill used it for, and I don't know what you brought up the other teams. You might be 1,000% right. Every other team might be doing the same thing, so whatever you got from it is canceled out by what the other team got from you.
Right.
So I have no idea. I really don't. I'm not trying to evade the question for the purposes of keeping ourselves out of trouble. I just don't know.
But, you know, the only thing you can say is in 2007, after the Patriots were outed and they supposedly stopped doing it and teams knew that they had been doing it, that was their best season. So.
But they had a backlog of it.
No, they did.
That's the thing that gets completely glossed over all the time.
I know, but if I'm playing the Patriots, I'm going to change my signs, right?
And how much did that help you, that the other team had to waste their time changing all their stuff?
You know, maybe.
You know, that's why I'm saying it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like a needle in a haystack. I mean, how much this stuff helped? Listen, to me, as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were on the field together, they're going to win 80% of their games. That's how I feel about it.
Right.
So if you're going to ask me my opinion is that they would have been great no matter what they did. But I can't say that definitively.
Paul in L.A., first of all, great chatting with you guys yesterday. Oh, that was not for the air. Is this all? Yeah. My question is, do you think Aqib Talib might be a veteran guy to help bring a bit of veteran swagger or attitude to a secondary that only hears about how bad they are? Happy Obama Day, Fred.
He might have swag. He's not a veteran. I mean, any more so than the other guys. But he might have a swagger about him, the way he plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, you know, Chung is in, what, his fourth year?
Right.
And he's in his fifth?
McCourty's in his third.
I mean, to me, that's comparable. Yeah. You know, obviously, Dennard's a rookie.
Right.
Arrington's fourth year, fifth year, whatever. You know, so those guys have been around a little bit. But I do think that Talib, the way we've been told about him, probably carries himself with a little bit of more confidence than these guys.
Now, do you think that they're, without Talib, do you think any of these Patriots secondary guys have swagger as it stands? They're not a swagger type bunch back there.
No, I don't think that they.
You know, because
Arrington a little bit.
McCourty's their leader, and he's really low key.
Yeah, I mean, well,
he's the leader and he's low key.
I just think that, you know, this is going to sound very harsh. They haven't had a lot of reasons to have any swagger.
No, I know.
For the last couple of years, they just really haven't.
Yeah.
So when you make a play, with the amount that you've given up, I don't see how you can do that.
Merriweather had swagger. Now, was it earned? Probably not, but he had swagger.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I agree.
So.
And I don't look at the guys that are here like that.
No.
I agree with you. Merriweather did have swagger.
Undeserved. And that could be from Miami, you know, the guys from
undeserved.
Miami.
Undeserved. Yeah.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. It's a Andy Free Wednesday. Just Paul and I here.
Yeah.
Eric should be by any minute, right?
Yeah, we should be hearing our practice update. Matter of fact, I'll check out some Twitter feed right now.
Brent in Illinois has an issue with me.
Good.
He says, what got into you on yesterday's show? I mean, you make one of the 11 players on the field better, thus making the 11 better. You can say that it is not true unless you make the best player better. I think Fred was visiting Colorado and smoking something prior to the law being passed. Can you explain the logic again for me, because I may have missed something? Anyway, quick question. Is there any update on Welker's ankle? I know injury info is hard to come by, but just looking to find out if the ankle injured in London was the same as the one from the report.
That's an excellent question, and I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. Excellent question.
Did we see him in the locker room today?
I didn't see him today, but I saw him yesterday kind of meandering through. I don't think he spoke. Some of the reports from Twitter is that Hernandez was back at practice today. They were wearing shells. Bolden, White, and Scott still out. So we'll wait till 4 o'clock. We'll get that injury, that practice participation report, I should say, not the injury report, and find out if Hernandez was limited, which I assume he will be.
Do you think Bolden being out is kind of, in a weird way, a good thing because we've been able to see a little bit more of Vereen?
Yeah. Because I think Vereen's upside is significant.
Right.
You know, Bolden, I think, I'm not ready. I don't know enough about him. Maybe his upside is there too, you know. I certainly like what I've seen of Bolden.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to see Vereen play a little bit more. Maybe he wouldn't have had as many opportunities had Bolden remained healthy.
Let's see. Jeevan writes in from Vancouver. He says, considering all the questions on Talib in the age of Asante Samuel, if you were given the opportunity, would you rather have done the Samuel trade or the Talib trade?
Samuel.
Personally, I would have stuck with the Talib trade because his youth, and I feel as if Chung's money next season is going to Talib and McCourty will be permanently moved to safety, with Dennard playing cornerback number two. Would have loved to see Talib out there this week.
Yeah, I would rather have Samuel. I think he's a better player.
How old is he now, Samuel?
I don't know, like 10th year maybe? Yeah. He's old. I mean, he's older. The email is right. If you're going with youth, but you're only going to have him for 7 games, in my opinion. So I don't care. You know, he's clearly, he can still play now in the short term. And Tlaib's in his fifth year, and I think Samuel is in his 10th or 11th.
All right. Let's
10th, I'll say.
Let's take our 139 break. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket
Good.
I got to
look at this tweet that Stripper sent me from WCOZ. Remember I was talking about them earlier? He sent me like a YouTube clip. I want to watch it.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC. But it's every
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298.
It's great stuff. How can you not love that? It's just fun music.
It's the Ace Ticket Hotline.
It's not about like getting depressed and wanting to kill yourself like those songs that you used to listen to.
Yeah. 508-298-0398 and webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Would you say you go to the clubs and you could feel the?
Well, my friend would say he could
feel the beat.
Boom. You could feel it.
You know, get into it.
Even before we got into the city, he could start
the
vibrate.
Oh yeah, the vibrations.
You know, start to
absolutely.
Feel
absolutely.
You know,
it's
go
awesome.
To the clubs.
It's awesome stuff.
You're online over at Lucifer's and Kenmore Square. And
I don't know Lucifer's. Where was that?
Right in Kenmore Square. It's where the BU bookstore is now.
Oh, so that turned into like Narcissus.
Narcissus. I that's what I meant to say.
Oh,
not
all right.
Lucifer's.
Yeah, we called it Narcyphilis.
Narcyphilis?
Yes. but yes, I did go there quite often.
Right. And then all the clubs on Lansdowne Street.
Who's on First? I went to a lot.
Yeah.
The
Dugout?
The Dugout was just a BU bar.
Right. Right.
Yeah, obviously. I majored in that.
Oh.
Okay. That and T's Pub. It's good. It's too bad I didn't get any class credit for that.
Let me tell you something.
What? Tell me something.
It's too bad that you couldn't get credit toward your tuition for the money you spent at the school bar, at you know the on-campus bar. That should work that way.
It know? Should.
Do the Patriots roll out their up-tempo running offense?
You know, we were talking about this earlier, Mike Reese and I, because we taped All Access this morning, and. You would think on the surface there's no way that Buffalo's going to go with all the small packages that they did the first time around and let them run for 250 yards, but I'm not so sure.
Right.
I'm not so sure. I just think that they will try to go in and say we need to play better. You know, if we need to be prepared for them to run the ball if we go with the small packages, and we can't let them beat us like that. Because if you have a big package,
right,
as opposed to a small package,
that's right,
you need to play better.
Yeah, and you can get beat.
Right.
Right.
So I think that they will go with a similar type game plan. I just think they will feel like they need to play better. They can't let, you know, Brandon Bolden and
right.
Stephen Ridley both run for 100 yards like they did. Eric's here.
Eric's here, yep. And Patriots practice indoors today.
A rarity.
A rare indoor.
Oh, there was a
practice.
Storm going on, correct?
Well,
is it snowing? What do you got? What do you got out there?
Snow flurries. Yeah.
Okay. So nothing like building
high
up.
Winds too, right?
Nothing sticking. Yeah. Sorry.
High winds. So
high winds.
I can understand why
rainy,
indoors,
snowy.
If you're interested, the weather report for Sunday is like really nice.
Nice.
50,
it's supposed to be a
sunny,
nice weekend. Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to have a practice in bad weather when you're not going to be
right.
playing in it.
Right. They kept it a little cool though. They didn't warm it up like they normally do. Like if they're
right.
playing Miami or someone in Florida,
yep.
they usually boost the heat up in the bubble. But they kept it a little cold just to sort of, you know, try to keep it somewhat
yep.
moderate.
So what do you got to tell us, Eric?
Hernandez was back. However, I saw something later that I probably shouldn't have and can't report. So we'll just say Hernandez was back and looking good at practice today. They actually let us see a little bit of drills, and he was actually cutting. Catching passes, cutting and blocking and catching passes, and looked pretty good to me.
Looked very tired. I talked to him for a little bit in the locker
room. Oh, you did?
Remember I talked about that thing?
Yes.
You know, everybody would jump
Correct.
Over like seven people
yes.
to shake their
that
hand
happened?
And congratulate him.
Did that happen afterwards?
No, well, he walked by me, and I stopped him,
yes.
and I said, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, that's one of those things. Like, the
right.
media, how can the media inject themselves into the story?
Right.
I was, Eric and I were, like, ready for...
We were ready for bear.
We were ready to jump
yeah.
on everybody for it, you know, like. You know, Aaron, you had a baby, and I know you had a baby, and I know you don't know me, but I'm going to tell you congratulations.
Right.
So he was back looking pretty good. 18 must not have been a good year for Brandon Spikes because he says he feels 18 again, and yet he keeps riding
struggling.
That exercise bike at practice.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be
after he stretches.
That would be the greatest story ever if you could find out that he spent, when he was 18, he right. was like on IR the whole year.
Right.
Like he redshirted at Florida or something. Like he couldn't get out in the field.
Right.
Missed every practice when he was 18.
They were three guys missing. No surprises. Bolden, White, and Scott. And they were in shells.
Gregory was out there.
Yeah, again. Yep, and he said today he expects to play because I'm out there practicing. So we'll see.
He must not have read the memo, you know, about when you're hurt, you don't talk too much. You don't talk about if you think you're going to play, that whole thing.
I don't think he bothered. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a veteran. He has money.
There have been some guys that sort of said, I don't really care what you're – I'm going to talk about
myself.
I'll
talk about myself.
As long as I'm talking about me, I'm going to talk.
Exactly.
You know, Tyrone Poole did that.
Ellis Hobbs.
Remember.
Yeah, Ellis was
Ellis
one.
Hobbs would tell you about – so they don't all adhere to the rules. I think that's what Bill would – his preference would be.
Right. But if you're a veteran,
guys,
you get more leeway with that.
David Givens was another guy that didn't like – you know, like not – he would have a problem and not be listed on the injury report. And he didn't like that. You know, like he wanted people to know, like, well, I didn't catch a pass last week, but I shouldn't even have been on the field.
Right.
You know, there was some guys that didn't necessarily like the fact that they could never talk about themselves in that regard.
Right.
And
right.
I think Gregory might be one of those guys.
Okay. Anything else, Eric? No? Brady, Belichick?
Belichick, we can go over him a little bit. A lot of McCourty questions, which is helpful for the story
for
I wanted to write this week. Yep.
Had water.
Mm-hmm. He got one mild Tlaib-type question. You know, it was a generic one that was posed in a very general way by somebody who often asks general questions.
You mean everybody?
Come on, Seattle! Well,
you know who I'm talking about. A certain reporter who always has to...
look, we always say the name, so just say it.
No, I don't. No, I don't, I'm not like Andy. I don't just blurt out names
of
people.
But I want to know now, because
you know who
to
we're
me,
talking
they
about.
All ask general
Radio
questions.
Radio guy.
Radio guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
it's pretty good that I
figured
out what
you were
talking about.
That was good. So and of course Bill gave the you know Bill could see it coming and his face kind of went from the
right.
You know each player's different. Each case is different.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
What was the question?
In general, Bill, you know, generally speaking, when you have a player, of course you do your homework about him and you ask about him and you want to find out everything you can, but when you bring him in here, what sort of checks and balances do you have in place to make sure that he succeeds into your system?
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't understand.
I mean, talk about beating around the bush.
I would give him the same answer. Yeah, everybody's different, you know? So.
Just come out and say it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Right.
Just say it.
Right. Be specific.
Right.
And then he can't say everybody's different.
Exactly. Right. Well, he can, but, I mean, you know. Other than that. Not much about the Bills. He said Myron Pryor and Jake Ballard aren't going to be activated this week off of their respective lists.
And then when's the deadline?
It's coming soon. I believe it's maybe next week.
Yeah.
I think. Clock's ticking with those guys. So.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised. Ballard, I'm not surprised at all.
Not really, no.
I'm a little surprised about Pryor because I talked to him a little bit. The first week he was eligible. So that's, you know, after week six. He's going back like a month now.
Yeah.
And he all but said he expected to be out of practice the next day. Mm. So I don't know if maybe there was some sort
of setback
or.
Or maybe
what?
He was a little too overzealous.
Well, he didn't really say. No. Like, no? He didn't say anything that would have gotten himself in trouble.
No, I mean, maybe he was.
Oh, he
maybe
felt
he
a little
felt
bit,
like better about himself than they did.
Yeah. Well, maybe he feels like he's. Needed more than they did.
Right.
You know, who knows?
Vasante Shenko continues to work out, looks pretty good. I would suspect he's going to be activated sooner rather than later, but they've yet to do so.
Yep.
But he's out there and he's taking part and
interesting.
Looks good. Yeah.
They have some interesting roster moves to make.
I'm in no rush to activate him. I know they have to eventually. But...
No, I think that's another one that's coming up on the deadline. I think he has 3 weeks to practice.
I think that was an easy one to make because you have. Omen Awanui, who's probably the expendable one in that group.
Right.
So that would probably be an easy move to make if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think that one is going to depend on Hernandez. I think if Hernandez is healthy, I have no reason to activate Shianko. I would stick with and let him do the things that he's been doing. Now, if Hernandez is clearly going to be iffy the rest of the way, then I agree with Eric. I think you make that move for him. Now you have Shanko to be a pass catcher on the weeks that Hernandez can't be a pass catcher. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric, what's your favorite album from your youth?
It's a great question.
You think you just waltz in, 15 minutes before the end of the show and have nothing?
Sure. That's a great question.
Favorite album?
Favorite album from my youth? Maybe Van Halen, 5150.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good album.
Sure.
That's
like
probably
that
up there.
Yeah.
A couple of Billy Joel albums back in the day.
Glass Houses was a good one.
Stranger was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Stranger was very good.
Yeah.
I like Glass Houses a little better, but you're older than me.
Okay. Yeah.
How did that come up?
How did it come up? Oh, we're talking about More Than a Woman.
Oh,
song.
Yeah. Someone wrote in saying that they heard More Than a Woman, a song from Saturday Night Fever.
Mm-hmm.
Definite disco song.
Yeah.
And they thought of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had actually heard that song this week driving to work. And we branched off into talking about Boston, the group Boston.
The group Boston.
Right, because they have More Than a Feeling.
More Than a Feeling, right? Which is a great song.
And then we started talking about albums. And Fred went on a whole tangent. They don't really have those anymore because now everybody just goes online.
Right.
You download
your single.
And then we started talking about, I wonder if that's really impacted the artists, the individual artists. And someone wrote in, who was experienced in it and said, yeah, it definitely has. They've had to find other avenues to get it, like, maybe more touring or, as Fred said, selling out. And you see a lot of songs on commercials now and as part of TV. And there's other ways to make money. But the guy, he was from Toronto, I think.
Yeah, Tony from Toronto.
He said flat out they don't make anywhere near as much money. And certainly the studio
albums,
executives.
You mean album sales?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
studio executives have really taken a hit
because back then
they don't make nearly as much as
those albums were pieces of work in and themselves. You would never think of stripping away and buying one song. It was like you had to have the album,
right? Because it was also the songs were arranged in a way.
Sure,
like there was a reason why a certain song came before another one on the album.
Now, did you really look at it that? And I know you're absolutely right. I'm not making fun of you. Did you really look at it that way though? Like when you looked at an album? See, because I didn't. I listened to music for the pure entertainment.
Well, think of that one
the
Led Zeppelin album with Heartbreaker. There's two songs that always. When they played them on the radio, they'd always play them together, and they came together. And if you didn't know, you would think that it was one song. But it was actually two songs that everyone just recognizes.
Subconsciously,
you can't play one without the other, because of the way it sounded on the album. There was no break.
Mm-hmm.
It just went right into it. You know how, like, in your albums, in the vinyl, you'd see the little line there?
Yep.
That the break, there was no break. It just went right from that song into the other.
Kind of like Queen.
Yeah.
With We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, and We Are the Champions.
That's right. Exactly. Good, Paul.
Thanks, Fred. Good I also Paul. Liked Queen. That was a great, album.
Oh, Queen. Great one. Yep.
I thought he was going to take a shot at me.
I couldn't tell if you're mocking
me. No, Night at the Opera was one of the classic albums of all
time. I don't even know. I don't remember. I know they had Another One Bites the Dust, I think.
That was later.
Play the Game.
Night at the Opera was their best.
I forget
album.
The names of the albums, but I had a few Queen albums, and no, I didn't know that he was gay. I didn't get it, Queen.
But
I didn't
it
get
wouldn't
it.
Have mattered.
No, I know now, and I still love it.
Yeah.
But I think back to a lot of those things, like Village People.
Mm. You didn't know?
Oh, no, I did know, but I didn't know right away. Let's put it that way.
Because you were so young when you first
heard
it.
They had songs called In the Navy and YMCA. And they had a bunch of guys who were dressed up as, like,
An Indian, a policeman.
They might as well have come out with a billy club that said, "I'm gay, idiot," and slammed you over the head. But it took me a little while. I was young.
It was you were more innocent back
and
then.
You didn't look at people that way either, right? Queen is another one. I mean, if you ever watched anything they did and you couldn't tell that Freddie Mercury was gay.
He'd come out with the short shorts. And,
yeah. But the name of the band was Queen.
Right.
And I didn't get that one right away either. So I sort of wondered what the hell I was thinking. What the hell's going on?
You're not looking at the world with judgmental eyes.
Yeah.
But
and
I'll
I was
you,
young. I didn't even really know.
I mean, I was, we were, testosterone filled males back then. And I got to be honest, Paul. I didn't give it two thoughts about Queen. All I knew is that they had.
If the song is good,
no,
who cares?
I didn't.
Rock and music, right. And that's all I cared
about. I'm telling
you,
I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. But I didn't know.
Elton John.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Elton John, I knew.
But we all like Elton John.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And I like disco, which, you know, that's all sort of sexually ambiguous.
Right.
They go cross-dressing and
sure.
Transgender. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Sylvester. Remember Sylvester? Probably not.
No.
That's a little...
Now he's going into deep cuts.
Yeah. You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. You make me feel... You ever hear that song? Mighty Real. He was
good.
A freak.
Oh, my God.
Sylvester was a freak.
What about the guy that's super freak? What's his name?
Rick James.
Rick James.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Bitch. Right. All right.
Good way to end
it. One more email. Larry says at the halfway point, if the Patriots at the end of the season get the second round bye, what would you like? Play Baltimore or Denver, then for the championship game, go to Houston or Denver or Baltimore? I don't know. We kind of talked about this.
I would rather play Denver at home.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the first round.
Yep.
I would much rather play Denver at home than Denver in Denver.
Although I'm not as afraid to go to Baltimore as I would be to go to Houston.
And I'm not
either
as
week.
Afraid to go to Baltimore as I would be to go to Denver. I think Denver is a tough place to play. And I know that Andy likes to make fun of me. How does Denver win there? I think Denver's a tough place to win in a playoff game. That would be, you'd be earning that win.
Yeah.
I think Baltimore would be a tough place to play also. But I'll take – I think Baltimore's probably a better team than Denver. But I think the venue would be tougher to deal with.
All right, well, that's going to
John
be...
Rook, what are your thoughts on Daryl Royal?
That's going to be, yeah.
I had a feeling you were going to ask me about that today.
Yeah, we had a feeling you were going to come in dressed all in black.
Well, no, not in black. I'm obviously touched by it today because here's a guy that, and I'll get into this on the show in a little bit, but...
Get you back to your childhood.
Yeah, there's no question. He was a tremendous influence on basically who I am today.
Wow.
And a lot of friends of mine who are actually some of his former players, as well as contemporaries in the business back in the time in the 1970s when Texas was in its heyday, and even strippers, I think, can appreciate this. He knew how to do it right, and he was one of the few guys nowadays. You know how guys hang on to their jobs and they hang on too long. You're always saying, "Oh, he should have retired when he went out on top," and you know how really hard that is to do.
Right.
Here's a guy that did that. And he may be one of the last of the dying breeds that did that. He retired in 1976. And you guys may remember this. Paul, you might remember this. In 76, he and Frank Broyles at Arkansas retired on the same night. They played the last game of the year in December, 1976. This was Earl Campbell's junior year. I was on the field that night for that game. It was a surreal thing because we knew before the game that Royal was going to retire. And then Broyles surprised everybody because he and Daryl were golfing buddies. And he shocked the world when Frank Broyles said after the game, I'm stepping down as head coach at Arkansas. Same freaking night.
Wow.
And the place was just like blown away. And then Coach Royal became athletic director for 3 years after that, which were my first 3 years at UT. So I got to know him a little bit then. And then he finally retired once and for all in 1980. That's when DeLoss Dodds stepped in. And DeLoss Dodds is still the athletic director to this day, 32 years later.
I hear he was such an influence on you. He actually started Nitpick Tuesday. He called it Nitpick Texas.
You knew it was fine.
Nice.
All right.
Yes, that is the case.
John,
yeah.
You look great for your age then. Because if you were on the field in 1976, I was like 8. I look a lot older than you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was there that night. It was a very memorable night. I remember Coach Royal walking off the field, shaking hands with everybody. I made sure I got mine in, you know, that kind
of
thing.
You did the thing like Aaron Hernandez today. We were talking about.
Did you do that today?
Like Aaron Hernandez had a baby, so
yeah.
Everybody in the media,
congratulating
everybody
him, yeah.
In the media has to inject
everybody who doesn't really know him.
By the
yeah.
way, everybody in the media, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have remembered to vote yesterday. All the tweets to remind
right.
me
Another
to vote.
Another good point.
Oh, thank yeah. God that they you
just
know,
voted. Yeah. You should do the same.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, John, have a good show.
Yes, sir.
Wednesday at 4 o'clock is Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne. So stay tuned for that at 4. And my phone is buzzing, so we gotta go.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly.
Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.